You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, it is official. Lindy Ruff is back as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. It was announced on Monday by general manager Kevin Adams that Lindy Ruff is returning to the Buffalo Sabres after stints with the Dallas Stars and most recently the New Jersey Devils. Ruff is coming off of getting fired this past season by New Jersey, where he amassed a career record there of 128, 125, and 28 over the course of 281 games. He returns to Buffalo after having coached the Sabres for 15 seasons, amassing a 571, 432, and 78 record. He was the 2005-2006 Jack Adams Award winner. He is the coach that most recently brought the Sabres to the playoffs and, of course, as we all know, was leading the way in the playoff races of 2005 to 2007 and, of course, the Sabres Cup run back in 1999 where they lost to Dallas. Taylor, we talked about Ruff as a very, very possible option last week, and here we are now. He's back. I think there's a lot that we could talk about here when it comes to his resume, if it makes sense, why I feel like both of us probably to a degree like it, and the other things that are surrounding this, which are the obvious, which is, as people are bringing up, the nostalgia factor, the marketing factor, PR for the Sabres, selling tickets, all of that. We're going to get into it. So give me your initial reaction to start things off with the hiring of Lindy Ruff.
Well, the first thing, Brendan, is you got to understand this was not a hire made with nostalgia in mind.
That is the first thing that you have to say. More people need to make that clarification.
Right before we got on here, Kevin Adams called me. I don't even know how he got my number. And he was like, you got to understand, Taylor, this is not a hire made with nostalgia in mind. Mm-hmm. So I just have to repeat that.
I just had a carrier pigeon brought to my house with the same message.
Oh, wow.
It just brought a message to
my house.
That's
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a fish inside of a bulletproof vest wrapped in a newspaper sent to my house. I don't know what it meant.
Wow.
So, yeah, very interesting. I think this hire is there's a lot of ways to talk about it. One of the first ways we should talk about this is that it's only really been a week or so since Adams' presser,
mm-hmm.
where he announced what they were looking for in a coach. And it hasn't been that long since they fired Granato. That was just last week. So it is definitely interesting how quickly this has come together and how quickly it's become apparent that they wanted Ruff. We talked about a bunch of potential coaching options in the last episode. There's no way they interviewed all those guys. I don't even know. I'm sure it'll come out at some point soon how many guys they interviewed. Not many. So I guess before we get to anything else, we should say this was not an exhaustive search. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it's definitely not any kind of wide-ranging search where they talk to like as many guys as possible, talk to 10, 15 guys
right.
all over the place, which there might be multiple reasons for that, one of which is they knew they wanted a coach with experience and had won in the NHL before. So that's good. I think it's interesting how he's being talked about, Ruff, because he's had a long career, and I don't think it's easy to nail down exactly what his MO is. I know he can be tough on players, for sure. He can be a tough guy to play for. If they just want to go with that, that's fine. But not all those guys are created equal. For example, I think a lot of people would compare that to Torts. Torts is a really tough coach to play for, notoriously. But just because you're tough to play for does not mean you're a defense-first coach. I guess I get why those things would be associated in people's minds. And for Torts, it's definitely true. It's not inherently true. It's definitely not true for Ruff. So if you look at his resume, which it's a gigantically long resume, he has different teams he's coached. There's a lot of different things you can think about him, but I don't think you can look at that and just go, oh, always a defense first guy. Not really true. So to get to what you actually asked me, I feel moderately good about this, cautiously optimistic about the hire.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat, Taylor. You know, I think, of course, when we're talking about Lindy Ruff in Buffalo, there's naturally going to be people who are going to just jump to it's a nostalgia thing. It's you know, marketing in mind, kind of like how we were joking about with Kevin Adams' remarks after the hire had come out. But if you look at the resume, you look at the profile of coach, not only that Kevin Adams just a week ago talked about, but also the way that fans in general and anybody who follows this team talks about what this team needs. Lindy really fits the bill for that. You know, when you talk about a coach that's, whether you want to say like a tough coach to play for, tough to play against, or however you want to describe it, I think the thing is, I mean, Torts is maybe, you know, on the far end of the spectrum here, but just because a guy may have that reputation and may be a bit more accountable, hold players a bit more accountable, be a bit tougher on them, that doesn't also equate, though, to them not being likable and not having a good relationship with their players. We all know about Lindy's doghouse and that being a thing, and I'm sure everybody now is already thinking of who potentially is going to fit the bill for that eventually this coming season, but I just think that what this team needs right now is a coach that is going to hold them accountable, is going to be tough on them, is going to challenge them. And I think that as we all had kind of seen over the past couple of years and really this year, Granato, I don't think was as tough on them as they maybe needed to be. I think that there are times that maybe they did need a little bit of tough love and they need somebody that's going to push them a little bit. And I think Lindy fits the bill for that. I mean, we had talked about also wanting to have an established coach who has a history of success, has been able to navigate teams through the highs and lows of the regular season, has some semblance of playoff success. Now, Lindy, of course, that comes at a very different time, but let's also not forget, we're only a year removed from him taking New Jersey to the playoffs after securing a, what was it, 111 points last year, I want to say. So
yeah.
It's not as though he's, you know, this like archaic figure here. I think that if you look at each of the stops, you know, throughout his careers, well, really since he left Buffalo, but even in Buffalo too, you look, but again, last year in New Jersey, I think is a perfect example where you had Jack Hughes having a career year with 99 points. Nico Hischier took a big step in his game. Jesper Bratt flourished under Lindy Ruff. Dougie Hamilton had a great year last year. You look at also the fact that when he was in Dallas, we talked about that last week too, Ruff's pedigree in Dallas, that he went on a somewhat of a playoff run, you know, couple rounds with Dallas.
They were the one seed, yeah.
Yeah, they were the one seed. And so then, of course, with the Sabres, I mean, if players have been able to have success offensively. Danny Briere, Thomas Vanek, Jason Pominville, Derek Roy, you know, and even in Vanek's case, that's somebody that for one point or another was in the quote unquote doghouse with him. So guys are able to exceed there. And I think a key part of that is the fact that Ruff is a good coach when it comes to 5-on-5 play. And the Sabres thankfully already are a team that by and large, at least in terms of like their scoring and on ice impacts are pretty good at 5-on-5, have the capability of being good at 5-on-5. And so knowing that you have a coach that's going to be able to help harness that and take it even further, I think is undoubtedly a good thing. Like looking at, again, because this year was tough when it comes to New Jersey, because of the fact that their goaltending was just such a mess. I mean, last year you were able to get, pretty average to above average goaltending for the most part throughout the year. You know, Vitej Vanacek had a 9.11 save percentage. Akira Schmid, when he played, he had a 922, and then, of course, Mackenzie Blackwood had his struggles. He had an 893. But for the most part, though, you had goaltending that was, we could say, in line or less than what UPL gave us this year. And it showed in their 5-on-5 play. You look at not only, again, the, you know, career years that some of the guys had last year, the four that I had gone through. Another young guy also, I'll say, that excelled under Lindy Ruff last year was Dawson Mercer. And you want to talk about the defensive side of things as well, before I get to more of the 5-on-5 stuff, now that I'm just thinking about this, but like we talked about Dougie Hamilton, like Damon Severson gained the reputation that he gained in part under Lindy Ruff. Jonas Siegerhalter, another one, another fixture in the top four there for New Jersey. Like, there are guys that were contributing in all phases of the game and all ends of the ice. And for qualified players last year for the Devils, they only had one player that played the majority of the season have a Corsi 4 percentage under 50. And that was wow. Michael McLeod, who had a 49.9 Corsi 4 percentage. Everybody else who was a regular mainstay on the roster had a Corsi 4 percentage above 50 last year. So the ice is tilted in his team's favor. He's shown it at various stops. It's just you need the goaltending to kind of help meet you there, and he didn't have that this year. He didn't have that to fall back on. Another note there, another stat I should say, that I think is particularly relevant in that. I had shared it earlier today, today being Monday, on the Straight Up Sabres account from our former guest Jay Fresh, but he had said, according to Sports Logic via TSN, when Lindy Ruff was fired by New Jersey, the team was 12th in expected goal differential and 22nd in goal differential, which again wow. goes to show that he just wasn't getting the finishing luck that they had the year prior, and the goaltending was not there for them this year at all. It was a mess. So altogether, Taylor, I'm in a pretty good place with this hire, you know? And I think the other side of it that we can kind of get into a little bit now is that marketing PR spin on it, because of course it's a feel good thing. Lindy Ruff is undoubtedly a beloved figure in Buffalo sports history. And while I think a lot of people are pointing at that in a negative light, I think for me, the way that I'm approaching it is this is a qualified candidate who checks the boxes for what we're looking for in a coach. Every candidate is going to have flaws, but Lindy checks the boxes that I feel like, and I feel like a lot of people feel like, this team needs, and a head coach to take them to the next level. And so if there is this PR spin for the positive that the Sabres can put on it, if it is going to bring more attention back to the team, bring people back in who have maybe been felt like they've been pushed away by how bad the team has been, and they're able to sell more tickets, they're able to get people excited about the upcoming year, that's a good thing, undoubtedly, I think, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, it is a lot of things. So yeah, it's good to get people back and excited with a coach that they know has had success, not just here, but everywhere else. So that's not a bad thing. And I guess generally with what we mentioned earlier with the nostalgia thing, something being a nostalgia hire doesn't mean it's only a nostalgia hire, or that's exclusively the reason to do it.
Exactly.
People are going to feel how they feel. I guess the question is, do you think he can coach? And my answer is yeah. And I know people will be excited. There's a lot of people, I assume, who have buying power. So let's say people in the 30 to 60 range age-wise that remember him as a coach, and that's kind of who they need to get back as season ticket holders. And maybe they'll be excited for that. But I think generally it's just looking at, we know he was good enough in New Jersey 2 years ago, and he just wasn't along for the ride. It should be said, obviously, that they had the best assistant coach in the league more than the best assistant coach in the league. They had one of the best coaches in the league as their top assistant in Andrew Brunette. And he's been at three stops the last 3 years, and all of them look markedly better under him. So that's something, but it's not everything. The Devils this year, as you mentioned, were not a bad team. They were an okay team with a little bit of bad finishing luck and terrible goaltending. In fact, I would say they were a pretty good team under Ruff, and they got noticeably worse after he was fired. They didn't get the dead cat bounce you usually get in hockey. That tells you something. And if you want to compare the 2 years ago Devils to the right now Sabres, there are all the young guys that need direction. It's not just the guys that are on the team right now. There's four or five first-round picks who will be coming into the NHL or being traded in the next couple of years that'll need guidance. That's on top of Zach Benson, Quinn, who's still relatively young, Dylan Cousins, who needs to find his way, Owen Powers, who still has some improvements to make, Samuelson. There's a lot of guys. And that I didn't even mention UPL and Levi in there. So New Jersey kind of had a similar situation 2 years ago, and I think they're still in good shape. I think the Devils will be fine if they hire a good coach. But this is also, you know, it's pretty reminiscent of the Sabres of 05-06. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on this team, but if you go into the 05-06 season, who are your proven guys? Your most proven guy, gone in free agency. That's Chatan. Ryan Miller, totally unproven. I would say almost more so than Levi is right now. Baron is one of your more proven guys. You have Breer and Drury. You know what the Sabres said? Breer and Drury is their first and second line centers in 03-04. They finished ninth in the East. They missed the playoffs. They needed that other group of guys. A Breer injury also took a step, but in Dumont was good too in 05-06. But they needed the Brian Campbell to step up and be a number one defenseman. And then they needed the other guys like Roy, Vanek, Pominville, and Gostad to be better. And he needed to help guide Ryan Miller along that season. So there were, at that point, there was a lot left to uncertainty. And he did a really good job there. He also, went to the Stars. The Stars missed the playoffs like 5 years in a row, maybe. They made it under him. And then in 2015-16, they were the one seed who led the league in scoring. It was another team he led the league in scoring in. Last year, the Devils, I think, were fifth in goals. So to be clear, that's two different franchises, different times that led the league in scoring under Lindy Ruff. And the Stars is, you know, it's been a while now since he was the Stars coach, but it's worth looking back on that and looking at it and saying they were a pretty bad franchise at that point for a few years, probably the only bad stretch they've ever had as a franchise. And then he got there and they were the highest scoring team in the league. And you know why they didn't win anything? You know why they missed the playoffs 3 of his 5 years there and never made it to the conference finals? Because the goaltending sucked. It was awful. It was at the time when the NHL had the highest save percentage it's ever had. I believe the average save percentage of the NHL was 916 in 2015-16. They were like a 906. The goalies were Kari Lehtinen and Antti Niemi. That's it. That's why Lindy Ruff had no chance at winning the Cup in Dallas, even with the highest scoring team in the league. And he goes to the Devils, and he only makes the playoffs 1 of the 4 years, I think, on the Devils. That's not a good average. But it was the year that he had okay goaltending. Okay, maybe totally league average goaltending. And with league average goaltending, they had like 111 points. They were in the second round. So this is a guy that's been impressive a lot of places. He has lost two jobs in a row because of terrible goaltending. It seems right now that the Sabres don't have terrible goaltending. I guess we'll see, though.
Yeah, fingers crossed on that. There's one other component of this that I think that's interesting that should be brought up. I do, after we, you know, eventually kind of go through our ad break and everything, I would like to get into some of the potential negatives of this hire. But before we get to that, though, one component that I think people are bringing up who are maybe not huge fans of the hire is that, you know, as we're talking about the whole nostalgia marketing thing, whatever you want to call it, or you could even say that it's Terry potentially meddling a little bit too much and he's just doing something, you know, with his heart because of how much he loves Lindy and it's not the right move and he's just overstepping on this. I think something that's important to keep in mind that maybe people aren't talking about that much is Kevin Adams was the associate coach under Lindy Ruff. And
yeah,
his job is on the line right now. Like, let's be real here. If the Sabres flame out next year and don't make it, there's a good chance that Kevin Adams is going to be out of a job. And he has that insight of being on the bench with Lindy, seeing how he operates and how he treats his players. And he also has, obviously, a front row seat to how this team has been and what they are lacking and what their needs are. And so, while, yeah, you could say, and I completely agree, because I would like to know the extent of the search, if they interviewed anybody else, what conversations were had, who they were interested in. I do want to know that, and I think that's absolutely fair. But I will say, though, that I think that Adams previously being on a coaching staff with him helped inform his decision even more, because he was able to see that on a consistent basis. And he knows better than anybody else what this team needs right now. And so if he wants to put his weight behind a guy that he was on the bench with and saw how he is and how he acts and how he interacts with his players, what he commands of them, how he helps them grow and what he gets out of their game, that's not something I can necessarily fault him for either. What are your thoughts on that, with that prior coaching connection between the two?
Well, I mean, it definitely matters. Adams knows exactly who Lindy Ruff is, which I guess is partly telling in why he acted so quick to get him signed and why he hired him. That has to count for something. I mean, if you don't trust Kevin Adams at all, then there's not really any point in weighing in on this.
True.
On this situation. Like, you just give up, because then, you know, it's whatever. They're not going to do anything. If he's not good, then they're not going to win anything. But yeah, it's something. I think it's good. I think it tells me that Adams maybe looked at Granato, and I know Adams was 100% happy in the first couple of years with how Granato helped certain guys refine their games and how he also helped work with young guys.
As he should have been.
Yes. And it seems like, you know, Adams did fire Granato, and I don't know if it was just results based. I think maybe he looked at him and said, this isn't a guy who knows enough about X's and O's at the NHL level, or maybe he's not a guy that can get tough on guys when you need to get tough. And I think it's very clear in both cases, Lindy should be an upgrade over Granato on both of those fronts. And I mean, that's something we looked at all year. Like, why is the power play so bad? Well, Lindy will hire someone who's better at the power play than Matt Ellis. Like, why are they so bad at 6-on-5? Well, they can't be worse. Lindy has had better success than that. Why at even strength are they, even though they have a high shooting percentage at even strength, why is their expected goals kind of bad at even strength each of the last 2 years, even when they almost made the playoffs? Probably something to do with the games where they get dummied because someone has figured out even a little bit how to stop them, and they have no answer for it. So I think Lindy will have better answers than Granato for all of that. So I guess that's not really even the question, though. Is Lindy going to do better than Granato? Is he the best choice in the market? I don't know. But it's pretty clear to me that Adams targeted Lindy because at least partially what he learned from him as when he was the associate head coach about 15 years ago or whenever.
Yeah.
What was that, like 2010? The good old days?
Let's see. Next season. It was the 2011-12 season, and then he was fired after the 2013 season when the Sabres named Rolston their new head coach.
Oh, boy.
What a
time.
Not
the good old days.
What a time.
Yeah.
Oof. Would we like to hear a word from our sponsor, Taylor, before we get into maybe some of the potential risks that come with this hire?
Yes. Folks, the chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoff beards all the way to the hoisting of the Stanley Cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. So, for example, you're listening to this on Tuesday, probably, I'd assume, the day after the Ruff hiring. Well, there's a few games on Tuesday you might want to bet on. For a Sabres fan, you might be interested in the team that made the playoffs over us, the Washington Capitals. I mean, there was a few teams between us, but
yeah,
the Capitals, they get a bounce back after a rough game one against the Rangers. Maybe you're not interested in that. Well, a half hour later, you got the Lightning and Panthers, the Battle of Florida. The Lightning get a bounce back. After that, you have a follow-up to the best game of the weekend, Avs-Jets, and then night game, Predators-Canucks. Any of those games, you want to bet on anything going on in any of them, the only way to do that is to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get 200 bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, call www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus. But age will vary by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. All right. Well, Brendan, there are, as always, risks to these things. But can I get out in front and say that I think some of these are being overstated?
Okay.
Today, in light of him being hired.
Well, why don't we go into them first, and then you tell me why you feel as though they are overstated. I think one, for example, I don't necessarily agree with it, but people are saying that, you know, Lindy has been around for a while. He has trends that have kind of stuck with him throughout his career, such as how he can, as I mentioned before, the doghouse, and how he can treat younger players at certain times, or the fact that he really likes to rotate his lines quite a bit, and maybe people feel as though it doesn't allow lines to develop the chemistry and consistency that they need. What else you got for me?
Generally, that he kind of that the doghouse thing, and that basically it seems more like people seem to think he doesn't like skilled players.
Which, not really true.
No, pretty stupid. I mean, we just went over the 05, 06 Sabres. 10 years later, the 15, 16 Stars. I mean, the 06, 07 Sabres, obviously, were the highest scoring team in the league. New Jersey a couple years ago. But, like, the doghouse thing. We remember Thomas Vanek getting benched for the playoffs in 05, 06 in a bunch of the games. I don't know if it was a bunch, but a few of the games.
Mm-hmm.
Played further down the lineup. Fennekanoff the next year also kind of took a beating later in the season. More recently, Alex Holtz in New Jersey playing down the lineup. Here's the problem, though, with getting mad about all of those. That's not always a mistake. This is not Ralph Krueger saying, Jeff Skinner, you got to be a good defensive player now. Fourth line for you in the middle of Skinner's scoring prime when the team couldn't score. Maybe it's being too tough, but it's being really tough on younger guys expecting something from them. Maybe he was a little too tough some of the times, but I don't think this is a pattern of like, you're skilled, go to hell, sit down.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the one I heard, it was before he even got hired. Like, oh, what's going to happen to Zach Benson if Lindy gets hired? Nothing. He's going to get moved up.
He's going to be an even better two-way player. Like,
yeah, Lindy would love someone like that. That's a guy that plays hard every shift. Makes me wonder about a guy I just mentioned, Jeff Skinner. But, I mean, that's a problem for later.
Yeah. Do you have concerns there?
With Skinner and Lindy working together? Yeah, well, it's kind of a tough thing, though. I think Skinner, especially in the second half of last year, fundamentally a different guy than he was in the past. The Skinner thing was worth it. Well, 2 years ago, for example, he was a point-a-game player. He had his best year. Obviously, that was worth it. But him scoring 30, 35 goals in general and how well he played with Tage and Tuck, yeah, of course he's a first-liner, even though he's not a strong defensive player. But he went from not a strong defensive player to, like, one of the worst on-ice impact defenders in the league, if the advanced stats are to believe. And I think they are. He basically dragged everyone down that he played with, and they were all better when they played away from him. So it's a problem, and I don't know if it's an effort thing. I think it might be he was never that good at being a good defender or playing positionally, like sound hockey or being that fast. So that's all kind of exacerbated by the fact that he's in his 30s now. It's tough. But if you put him on those fourth lines, he's not going to score. Fourth line, third line, whatever. And that's how we finished the season this year, playing fewer minutes and not scoring. That's tough. I can't imagine Lindy will be thrilled with the way he plays generally, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't want to get too worried before it starts. But if there's one guy I'd say Lindy would have a problem with immediately, it'd be him.
Okay.
Now, if you want to talk about all the guys that have come into the league, I wouldn't say, especially when you're trying to be competitive, rookies don't always earn a ton of ice time right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always like the worst thing in the world because you send them to the press box or whatever, or you put one on the fourth line.
Right. I think even while we're talking about some of the younger players too, if there's a guy that I feel like Lindy would love to coach who might be ready to make the jump next year, it's Matt Savoy too. With the way that he skates and what a tenacious forechecker he is for his size, I feel like Lindy, that's the kind of guy that Lindy would really like to mold.
I can see that. And maybe he's the guy that makes it. If of all the potential guys to make the NHL next season, maybe it's him.
True. I think for all of them, though, I think that's the case for everybody, that it's not the same thing necessarily, but it's, in a way, you could say kind of comparable to how we talk about Boudreaux in terms of getting the most out of your offensive players and knowing what you're expecting out of the rest of the lineup, and that people have roles on this team. You know, it's the same thing in New Jersey, like last year with them, that Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt, these guys having career years, Dougie Hamilton on the blue line. These guys are producing and scoring, and it's not like this gritty style of hockey. I mean, in some cases, sure, but this is like skill players showing off their skill. And he, you know, I think through just, again, like the 5-on-5 strategy allows his players to play their game, to play to their strengths. Sure, are there certain things that you could poke holes in with when it comes to like tactical things or lineup optimization, what positions you're putting guys in? Yeah, I mean, that's the case with any coach, but he's shown it enough for me that I trust that I don't have to worry about him like breaking Tage or something like that, or making Alex Tuck a worse player. Who knows? Maybe this is even going to be a really good thing for Dylan Cousins too. I think that that's something that could be critically important here. I mean, if we're being honest, it could be. What am I saying? I think one of the biggest tasks that Lindy Ruff or whoever the Sabres were going to hire was going to be to figure out what's going on with Dylan Cousins and to right the ship there. Last season was a disaster.
Absolute biggest I think that's the biggest thing going into next year. We'll see what the roster looks like.
Talk to me about how you think Ruff can help with that.
Yeah, okay. So I think, for starters, the reason I think it's the biggest deal is because I think a lot of the guys are kind of figured out. I think Tage and Tucker are just going to bounce back. They're going to be healthier next year. I mean, if fingers crossed, hope they're healthier. If they're not, there's nothing you can do about it. Skinner, I'm worried, but I think we're past the point of good Skinner. Everyone else, hopefully you see good development from them. Not worried about Dahlin. Not really that worried about Power even. But you want to see more from Power.
Yeah.
The goalies are goalies. So it's important that they're good, but I don't know what else you can do except tell them to be good. So I think the thing with – and then there's also the addition. Whoever they add, forward, defense, whatever, this offseason, you just figure those guys will be good guys. You don't have to worry too much about. Cousins is the main guy you're worried about. He signed for 6 more seasons at a rate that seemed like it was going to be a bargain, but not the way he played last year. And he's got a problem where he's a good forechecker, but doesn't always have good instincts. He seemed lost out there at times last year. And he's just not gotten any better in his own zone as a center. So I think that would be a great person for Lindy to work with. I don't know if he's going to get better in his own zone, but at least to make some sense out of what offensive player he should be. Well, so you get to a point where maybe he's scoring 30 goals and you're not as worried about what he's doing in his own zone.
I think the thing with Cousins, too, is that, I mean, maybe we're making generalizations in saying this, but it feels like he has all of the tools to be a really good 200-foot player, to be good in his own zone. He's a big body. He shows that in certain situations, he's not afraid to use it and can be physical. He's a good skater. He's got good instincts overall. He's a good passer. Granted, some of those things seem like they regressed, and I think a lot of it had to do with just how he was approaching his game. It just felt like he was just taking his foot off the gas too many times this season, and that was a huge contributor to why he looked so poor throughout. But it feels like the bones are there to craft a really good defensive player out of Dylan Cousins' skill set. And I don't think that it's going to forever be this thing that he's just never going to be able to be that guy. And Lindy feels like there's an opportunity there for Lindy to maybe be the guy to do that, I hope.
Yeah, I mean, God, he really better be the guy.
Yeah, I don't think I can do much more of this. What kind of rope do you think we're talking about here, Taylor? You know, this is obviously any coach is going to get some time. Assuming things don't go well, I mean, I don't think that there's any scenario where if this is a down year that Lindy's gone. I think Adams is gone and then you have a new GM come in is probably the more likely next step. Do you think that Lindy is going to have a bit of leeway here, or do you think that, I don't know, I guess, how do you feel like that's going to be?
I mean, I think they kind of got to make the playoffs this year.
They have to.
Yeah, I don't see any way.
I don't mean that in a making excuses kind of way either. Like, should preface by saying they need to make it. Like, that being the baseline. And the chance that they don't, do you think, like, a hot seat is something that we will be talking about a year from now?
With Lindy?
Yeah.
Depends how bad things go. I mean, yeah, you could always get fired within 2 years if things are going terribly, particularly because there are expectations now. So, yeah, that's absolutely a possibility. If it's not going to go well, it's going to be very short-lived, as a lot of these coaching tenures tend to be. In fact, most coaching tenures, I think I saw a stat, I forgot exactly what it was, but an absurd percentage of the league has fired a coach in the last 2 years. Like, more so than almost any point in history. And I think teams are, you know, not waiting around forever to see if things are going to get turned around, even good teams. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to look at the NHL real quick, Brendan. Florida has fired a coach in the last 2 years, right? Boston, they have. Toronto, stay tuned.
We could have an answer on that in the next couple weeks.
Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal in the last 2 years? I don't know.
Martin St. Louis, right? Didn't he come in like a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Was that 2 years ago?
I don't know. Yeah, he's in the range.
Close enough.
The Rangers have. The Islanders fired a coach this year, midseason.
Yep.
Capitals fired the coach last season. I don't know when the Flyers bought on Tortorella. At some point in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey just fired their coach. Columbus fired their coach. Hired a guy and then fired him before he even coached a game. Probably going to fire the guy they replaced him with, too, at some point.
Yep.
that's just the Eastern Conference. It's crazy. So, yeah, there's obviously going to be a short leash, I would say, if they don't make the playoffs. If they do, if they make the playoffs 2 years in a row with them, which I know is saying a lot, just getting ahead of ourselves, I think there would probably be even too long of a leash. But on the other hand, Lindy's not a young man, so.
No, that's true. I think they're, of course, going into this with the expectation that they're going to make it this year. I mean, they have to. That's just what the organizational approach needs to be, that Lindy is the guy that's going to get them there. Because they're not far off, right? Like, let's be real here. You're not bringing in Lindy into a rebuild. You're not bringing him into a roster teardown. You're bringing him into a situation where you've been on the doorstep, give or take, for the last 2 years, and you have a young team. The time is now to take a step, and you are going to take some swings to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. What else should we talk about with Lindy?
Who do you think is going to benefit the most? I mean, I know we talked about Cousins kind of being the one that's most pivotal, but what players do you foresee thriving the most under Lindy?
Benson, for starters. I think, I mean, this is wishful thinking, but I kind of hope Cousins.
Yeah.
Figures out his game. I think that could be huge. As far as the defensemen go, maybe it helps Samuelson. Maybe it's the spark Samuelson needs.
I don't know why it would be. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Let's hope. I haven't really looked because Lindy hasn't really had a good goalie in a while. I was thinking about it could be a bad thing for UPL because UPL starts out hot and it's like, hey man, you want to play 75 games this year?
Yeah. You know who's one that I don't think we really talked about? I think Alex Tuch is a huge beneficiary of this move.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Improving his 5-on-5 play. And I'll even add Tage in that, too. I know we're kind of just going through everybody right now, but Tage really showed some improvements to his defensive game this year. And I think that if Lindy walks in day one and sees that Tage is really working on developing that 200-foot game even more, I think that he's going to put him in situations to succeed in the same way that he was doing so with Jack Hughes, even though they are two different types of players.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This could be good.
Yeah. Also worth noting, if Jack Hughes didn't get hurt, who knows if the Devils missed the playoffs? Maybe they still do, but he was having a dynamite start to the season.
Yep. And if they had any semblance of average goaltending as compared to bringing in Jake Allen at the deadline and Kaapo Kähkönen and hoping for the best.
True.
Which, granted, Lindy was gone by that point, but point still remains.
Yeah.
Their goaltending was just atrocious this year. I'm pulling it up right now. They ended up finishing their regular season cumulative goal percentage was .896, Taylor.
Yeesh. Not good.
Vanacek started 32 games, was at an .890. Nico Dawes, played in 32 games. Nico Dawes played in 21. He had an .894. Jake Allen broke .900 with a .900 flat in 13 games played. Akira Schmid, .895 in 19 games played. And then Kaapo Kähkönen had a .923. Wow, amazing. Kaapo Kähkönen had a .923 save percentage, and he went 1-4 in his 6 games played with the New Jersey Devils. A .923 and going 1-4.
That's wild.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. I'm going to allow myself to enjoy this. I think that this is a good thing, and if you're a fan of the hire, then, like I said before, I think the added fuzzy feelings that just makes it even better. And I have no problem leaning into that and appreciating that. It is cool. It's fun. Lindy's back. He is a very likable guy. Like, he's a likable coach, good interview. I feel like he always would have a really good rapport with the reporters here for the most part. Was liked by his players. I think it's a good hire. It's everything that we were saying that the Sabres needed, and we'll see who he fills out the rest of the bench with, because maybe that makes us like the hire even more.
Yeah, it's a possibility. A lot of guys out there. I'm going to go off right now and say we're not going to get Michael Pekka.
That's my guess. Many people have been mentioning that. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, he's an assistant with the Rangers, right? And people were saying that it wouldn't be a lateral move. Like, he would be Lindy's second in command if you hired, if you were able to poach him.
Rangers could also just do that. But yeah. I also think it's, I don't know, it's a weird thing.
Pekka, you don't have to, you don't have to bring everybody back.
Yeah, exactly. Just get a good assistant. Don't worry about that. I mean, he's a rising guy and he's with the Rangers now. I don't know.
Also, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's the possibility too that through this coaching cycle, maybe a couple of guys get overlooked and then you're able to bring in a former head coach as an assistant coach on the bench.
Yeah.
Or associate coach, whatever you want to call it. Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't know where this was from. It looked like a podcast or something. Matt Barnaby was on.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Barnaby also tweeted today that he thinks Lindy Ruff is a good coach, good hire for the Sabres, even though he didn't get along with Lindy. On that same vein, in that same vein, I should say, in a podcast with I don't know who, he basically was going off about how Hasek's the best goalie ever, so much better than Brodeur and Waugh. And you know this is true because I hate Hasek. And I never want to see him again, but he's so good that I have to say he's better than those guys, and it's not even close.
When was this? I must have missed this.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when that was. I just saw it the other day. So worth looking into if you could find the full episode, everyone.
Wow. Gonna have to check that out. Hey, how was Vegas?
Pretty fun. I didn't lose any money.
Hey, did you not gamble or you came
I
out
I didn't eating? Gamble.
Okay. There we go. All right. A little different than coming out even, but weren't feeling it? Didn't want to hit the slots?
No, you know, there is just stuff everywhere. It's all over the airport. As soon as you get off your plane, you just start seeing it. I even went to a restaurant where at the tables, there was little machines where you could play games. So
crazy.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, I don't say I didn't lose money because I spent a lot of money.
Usually the sign of a good time.
Yeah.
All right, Taylor, any recommendations you want to share?
I actually watched a movie I liked pretty well today. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. It's a nice little movie.
Okay, very nice. I have a show I want to throw out there that I personally enjoyed. I just finished it up. I was curious if you watched it. Did you watch The Gentleman on Netflix
with
Theo James?
No, never watched it.
Pretty good. Yeah, it just came out this year. I really enjoyed it. Highly recommend. Go check it out.
Nice.
All right. Well, that being said, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. Make sure you're checking out both the presenters of this podcast on their respective websites. Whatever streaming platform you're currently using to listen to this episode, make sure you're checking out all of our fellow shows. And make sure you are both following the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find us, Straight Up Sabres. And before you close out of this app, whatever it is you're using to listen to this episode, make sure you are either following or subscribed to us. And we'd very much appreciate it if you'd leave us a nice rating or review. Last but not least, we have our wonderful sponsor, folks. That'd be DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you are using that promo code THPN at checkout to take advantage of great deals. We'll be back with a brand new episode on Thursday, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been Straight Up Sabres. Say it.